relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show all about love, sex, and relationships. I'm Dr. Lori Battito. I'm a clinical psychologist with a specialty in sexuality. Passion heard here Monday to Friday, 10 to 11 p.m. On Friday nights, we do something a little special. We talk about sex in the news, some events happening. Kaya Bear joins us, number 34. We call it 34 Play Friday, although he had a game last night, took some pills, and fell asleep, took some pain pills, fell asleep. We just woke him up, so he's on his way. So we'll hear from him in the second half of the program. But we're going to kick off the show with a very special guest. Joining us tonight is Vanessa Grimaldi. She got the final rose on Nick Viall's season of The Bachelor. She's now living in L.A., but she's originally from Montreal. She is doing a fundraising event for her foundation, No Better You, raising money for special education programs in Montreal, and she joins us now. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
Wonderful to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. How's LA treating you?
LA is great. I heard it's raining in Montreal, but there's sun all day here in LA. So
of course.
I'm really happy.
Of course. So do you mind if I ask you some questions and then we'll talk about your event as well, which I'm truly looking forward to? I know a lot of people want to know, and you know, this is a relationship show. What was it like starting a relationship like in front of cameras?
While we were filming, it's quite interesting just how much the human body and mind could adapt to the situations that you're in. At the beginning, it was a little bit weird having cameras around you when you're filming and building this relationship with someone. But as time went on, you kind of get used to that environment and you kind of get used to having the cameras around you.
Right.
So it was a little bit difficult at the beginning, but it was something that I got quite used to.
Now, obviously, you liked Nick. There's no question, but he was dating other women on the show. How is that dating someone who's dating other people, basically in your face?
In front of,
yeah.
Well, you know, this is what I went in with the mentality of like when in the real world when you're dating someone. At the very beginning, you don't know if they're really dating anyone. You kind of expect that they are. In that world, you know it's kind of in your face, and you know that that he is building other types of relationships. But I just knew how special my relationship was with him. And at the end, if he was going to choose me after having built different types of relationships with the other women, it just meant that our relationship was that much stronger, and it meant a lot more.
Absolutely. Vanessa Grimaldi got the final rose on Nick Viall's season of The Bachelor. She joins us right now. How did you even get on The Bachelor? Is this something you've always watched? You've always aspired to
do
this?
No. I don't know if you watched the season, but I was very new to this whole experience.
Right.
I never watched the entire season of it. I knew bits and pieces of it because friends of mine had watched it.
Right.
And actually a little bit over a year ago, I got the call, and it was a friend of mine, my friend Jennifer, who's going to be part of the fundraiser on July 15th.
Great.
She's a naturopath, and she's a trainer, so she's giving out the workout portion. So she submitted my picture and a couple of lines, and then I just got the call saying, hey, are you still single? And I'm like, oh, I have no idea what's going on, but let's just go ahead and... Yeah.
Did she do this behind your back? Like, or had she told you she was doing this?
Behind my back. No, I had no idea. I had no idea. It's been 3 years you're single. Try it out.
I can only imagine getting that kind of phone call. Hi, want to date somebody on television?
No, the best question was, are you still single? I'm like, oh, I am.
Who's asking? That would have been my question. Who's asking before I answer that question?
It was interesting. Wow, but it all worked out for me, so I'm happy.
Yes, clearly. So what would be your ideal date with Nick in Montreal?
Ideal date in Montreal or anywhere?
No, in Montreal.
Simple.
Like, what would you show
in
him?
Montreal?
Yeah.
We were there a couple of weeks ago. And it's just really like walking around the streets of Montreal. There's so much to see, especially in the summer. It's so beautiful out. There's so many festivals. So I'm guessing, you know, like if this summer would be my favorite thing in the summer is going to the comedy festival.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
So that would be my ideal date. Loving, you know, who doesn't love to laugh?
Exactly. Are you coming back, you guys, for the festival?
I'm not sure if I'm coming back for the festival, but I will be back for the fundraiser. Then I'll be back again in August. So hopefully I'll catch it.
Good. So the fundraiser is July 16th. Tell us about No Better You.
Yes. So the fundraiser is on Sunday, July 16th. And No Better You is something that came about as once I got back to work and I was talking to my students about the experience, and they kept asking me questions about how I was processing the whole thing. And they asked, like, how did I deal with the process of filming while we were away? And for me, it was going away to the gym for like 30 minutes a day and just keeping my mind and my body healthy.
Okay.
And I kept telling them, you know, like, there's no better version of yourself. There's no better you, no matter like what situation that you're in. And so the fundraiser came about because I wanted to kind of relate part of my story to the experience. And so that's why the fitness portion of the event is linked into the fundraiser, because I want to help encourage people to work out, even if it is just for 30 minutes a day, because
right.
It does do a lot on your mental
that's
state.
That's right.
So,
isn't it? But also the our education system, at least here in Quebec, there's so little space for physical activity. That's a big problem in our schools, right?
Right. Right. So there's going to be a clinical and health psychologist who's going to be at the fundraiser, and she specializes in physical exercise for mental health.
Okay.
And she's going to be doing her name is Dr. Crystal Holly. She'll do an interactive Q&A, so people can ask her questions on how to achieve their fitness goals and how to meet them. And Nick and I will also be there to do an exclusive 30-minute interview.
Awesome.
Which we've never done in Montreal. So that'll be a first.
Okay. Awesome. And who's this for? Who's this geared towards? What age group?
So right now we're looking at an elementary school that's in need of a sensory room. And a sensory room is a therapeutic and safe space that can cater to the entire school. So I wanted to make sure that the money being raised was going to go towards helping a bigger population of people, not just a classroom of 24 students.
Right.
So that's why we thought of a sensory room. And this can help students with anxiety, can help students develop language.
Special needs, right?
So there's,
right.
So there's so much positive feedback that I've been getting from teachers who have done lessons in the sensory room. So we're looking at an elementary school right now. And it can cost about like $20,000 to $30,000 to build one sensory room.
Wow. And the
we're hoping to make that much so that we can build one come this fall.
Vanessa, the event, No Better You event, is geared for whom? Like, who should be attending?
Anyone.
Okay. Like young and old? It doesn't matter the age?
Young and old. Yeah. So I, you know, people are like, a fitness event. I'm not going to a fitness event, but I don't want anyone to be afraid of the word fitness, because there's so much going on throughout the day that the fitness portion is just like a 30 to 45 minute workout. Very light. We're not going to sweat so much. So you guys are going to be able to take pictures and still look just as beautiful. There's going to be lots of raffle prizes. Ritz-Carlton is involved. Lululemon. Arden is our main sponsor. Kids under 12 come for free.
Oh, great.
And there are a limited space. Yeah, so there's limited space.
And where can
so
people sign up?
So everyone coming ends up becoming, sorry?
Where can people sign up, Vanessa?
So they can go on eventbrite.ca and search Vanessa Grimaldi to purchase their ticket.
Great. So people should really get on that if they want their space.
Yes,
the space is limited. Vanessa, you've been a delight. Thank you so much. And we shall see you on July 16th. I'll be there with bells on.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. That's Vanessa Grimaldi, who got the final rose on Nick Vile's season of The Bachelor, doing a fundraising event for her foundation, No Better You, raising money for special education programs in Montreal, July 16th. So at Eventbrite, just type in her name and you can have access to tickets. The whole family can go. So that's great. It's sounds like a fabulous event. More Passion coming up next.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
34 Play Friday tonight on the program usually means Kaya Bear's in studio when he's in town. He's just on his way up in the elevator, actually. So he'll be joining our segment coming up. Oh, I think there he's coming through the doors. Looks a little drugged up because he took some painkillers. I guess they got hit a lot last night. So he'll be joining us. And we share with you stories. We'll also play Dirty Minds after 10:30. Your chance to win a WeVibe vibrator. So all you have to do is get your mind out of the gutter, listen to the three clues, and pick out the clue and the answer, and just call it in. First caller through will get the prize. So a couple of stories I want to share. I always find it interesting when my wonderful researcher Linda goes through and sends me all these new studies that have come out. Listen to this. About 61% of Canadian women have had an unintended pregnancy, according to a national survey. 61%. So it doesn't mean unwanted, just unintended. Oops, an oopsie pregnancy. All right. So which is really interesting because they did a study of more than 3,200 Canadian women, and they looked at trends and attitudes about contraception. So what they found, and this is a surprising one, was one of the favored forms of contraception for Canadian women when they were presented a menu of contraceptive options and asked which they had used, women placed the withdrawal method, pulling out, in third place after birth control pills and condoms. Pulling out, it's not a form of birth control, especially for younger people. It's not a good method of preventing pregnancy. The survey also pointed to a lack of awareness about contraceptive alternatives. Most women were not even aware of many of the contraceptive options that exist, like IUDs, for example, which is probably one of the most effective methods available. Very few women knew very little about that. Only 3.7% of women reported using a copper IUD. So there's really a lack of information. One in four women, Canadian women, also don't know what to do when she misses a pill or other hormonal contraception method. So there just seems to be some missing info. I want to direct people, by the way, to sexandyou.ca or sexualityandyou.ca. It's a great website by the SOGC, the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, that talk about this. And they're concerned also. They are concerned because 29% of the women between ages 15 and 19 who answered the survey had also used withdrawal as a form of contraception. Now, when you're young, at the peak of your, really when your fertility is high, right? You've got the most number of eggs, you're having regular periods and all of that. Like the pull-out method is just not that method you should be using. Not to mention that it does nothing to protect you from sexually transmitted infections. Kaya Bear is in the house. What happened to you, honey?
I am here and I am ready to go.
Yeah, well, you were sleeping, you were on drugs. What's going on? Painkillers?
Get out of here. You know what? I got caught up in real life, but I am here now. What I want to talk about is the pullout method.
Okay.
Because I heard that it's very effective. It's actually as effective as many other contraceptives as far as pregnancy is concerned.
Absolutely not.
I think there are doctors out there lying to football players. Are football players lying to football players about what doctors are saying?
Okay, maybe so, but go find out how many of your football player friends impregnated somebody by pulling out. Don't you realize there's also pre-ejaculate?
I do. I learned that in high school sex ed.
So then what, pre-ejaculate may contain some live sperm.
It could. So I guess the whole have her eat the babies don't work all the time.
It's not a great
way to think about
it. I'm telling you, it doesn't. You know, it can. It's not that it's it's a huge risk, but it's a risk nonetheless. Especially if you haven't urinated multiple times after an ejaculation. So if you had ejaculated once and then had sex again, or you had masturbated and ejaculated and then had sex again, you have leftover sperm in your urethra.
So if you had to put a number on it, what do you think the percentage is of the risk of getting pregnant with the pull-out method?
I'm not sure what the number is, but it's still a risk. It's still a lot of people who have had unintended pregnancies because of the pull-out method. Look at the numbers here. 61% of Canadian women had an unintended pregnancy. Most of these have come from the withdrawal method. They've come from the withdrawal method. So there you go. Hey, I didn't get a chance to congratulate you on the game last night. I mean, I did in person, but yes, that's when I saw you after the game. But it was a great game.
Yeah.
I have to thank a nail biter, right? It really was a nail biter till the very, very last second. Even past the fourth quarter, there was no time left, and then it happened. So I don't get that part of the game. But thankfully, your wonderful wife was sitting with me and explained football to me in a way that no one has ever been able to do that. So yes. I want to thank Annette
for that. I saw you on field. You waved at me, and I was so tempted to wave back.
You threw me a football. You threw me one of those mini footballs.
I did. Yeah. But even during the game, I saw you, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to wave back. This will make it.
Not in the middle of the field.
It's not a good look. Like the little kids playing soccer, and they're like picking up dandelions and waving at their mom and dad in the stands.
I can only imagine what might have happened if you had done that.
That'd have been all
with
bad.
Some guy coming, you know, the other way and knocking you down. No.
Yeah, I got knocked down a few times yesterday.
So you were in pain today.
A little pain, but that's a part of the job. Pain is a part of the job, so that's nothing new. It's not unfamiliar. I can tell you this: I'll be ready to go to work come Monday.
Okay, and you're back on there, right? But you have to take care of your body now. You got to rest.
That's it. And rest is the biggest deal right now.
Of course.
It's my best friend.
You missed our interview with Vanessa Grimaldi.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah. Well, you weren't here. What can I tell you?
I know.
All right.
It wasn't meant to be.
I guess it wasn't meant to be. We will play Dirty Minds after 10:30, though, with Kai, who does all the wonderful reading of the clues. We didn't go live on Facebook because you weren't here to prepare, so we just said we won't do it.
Oh.
Sorry, Kai.
Sorry. Good
sorry
Canadian
to our listeners.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Did you know you can now kiss your long-distance lover through an app?
Wow. I know you can send orgasms through an app. I can only imagine what you could do with a kiss.
Well, I don't know about that. But
well, the vibration sensations.
Oh, yes.
With a vibrator. Through an app, right?
Yes. But so now you can actually kiss your partner through an app, and they will feel it. It's called the Kissenger. So Kissenger. It's a device that has been pretty much around for the last couple of years. They've been trying to perfect it. And it gives a couple a chance to kiss each other through the web. It's a shaded cell phone holster with a plastic cushion connected to the base. Look it up, folks. You'll see what it looks like. You bolt lips with the cushion, and it transmits the sensation through an undistinguishable holster and an indistinguishable cushion that is settling at your accomplice's telephone wherever that might be. It works with weight sensors and actuators, I have no idea what all these things are, that record and transmit your kiss to the other gadget, which reproduces it for the individual on the flip side through an application that likewise highlights video calling.
Okay, so talking about this has gotten me tired. Now tell me this, are we sponsored by this company?
No, I'm just...
I would much rather take my time to send something through the WeVibe. Like, at least you know what you're going to get on the other end of it. I mean, sexting is way... It's further advanced.
But kissing is still one of those...
Well, kiss when I see you.
Kissing is so important.
I'll kiss
when
I see
you. Yeah, but okay, you are away for weeks, let's say weeks at a time, months at a time. The one thing we miss... often is the feel of our partner's lips, like that kissing. Kissing is very intimate.
And you think that plastic is going to replicate
that? I really don't
know.
Well, this is why. Apparently it does. I don't know how, but apparently it does. I just can't imagine. Imagine being on the bus and you're kissing your phone and you're like kissing. It's like, ew.
Just kissing yourself. Like, oh, look at him. He loves
his
selfie.
Yeah, exactly. No. So listen to this one. You'll like this one better. Porn stars help parents with sex ed in this new campaign. So, listen, sex education is not guaranteed to kids in 2017, but you know what is guaranteed?
Sex.
Pornography.
No. Oh,
pornography. Well, if you have Wi-Fi, you've got porn. And this is really, they call this the epidemic of children learning about sex through X-rated content. And a new campaign has porn stars give parents the talk about how to discuss internet porn. Unfortunately, this subject is often ignored by adults who don't believe their kids could possibly be watching adult entertainment, or by adults who are unsure of how to start that conversation.
I needed you last week. I had to have one of those conversations, and I was
with your own
really
kid?
Wish you were around. and she probably would have appreciated you being around. She did not want to hear the
from you.
I had to
she
say.
Would have wanted, yeah. And sometimes it's true. I get calls a lot from my friends. Could you talk to my kid?
Yeah, they need to happen. That's what I told her. I said, I'm going to call Lori, and need it or not need it, you're going to take home a box of condoms, like 200. She's like, I don't need it. I don't have a penis, and I'm not doing it. Well, you know what?
You don't have to have a penis
don't
to
have
do it.
Have
right,
a penis.
Exactly.
So
thank
we
you
had
very
a
much.
Very in-depth conversation.
Yourself. Well, and we should actually, with daughters, you have daughters, I have daughters, teaching them to take responsibility for not just birth control, but for safe sex is really important. So giving the girls condoms is just as
like,
important as
like
as
I never, you know. I don't promote for my kids to have sex, especially at the age that they are. I don't promote that at all. But I say if there's a time where you
be
feel
ready.
Like this is, exactly.
Right.
Be
well,
equipped for the situation.
Okay, so that's the attitude I've had. But people have said, oh, you provide condoms. It means you are telling
not
them it's okay to have sex. No, you're telling them be prepared when it happens.
Yeah, when or if it happens, you have to be responsible.
Exactly.
And that's what I said. I was like, you don't want them to die. Over,
okay, well,
as
let's,
I said
let's
before,
not, let's not talk about dying. Well, that's a little exaggeration.
No. Well, I mean, there
sex,
are STDs that leads to that can lead to death.
Well,
are there not?
Not so much today, but no, well, you're talking about HIV AIDS.
Your HIV
yeah,
AIDS.
Yeah, it doesn't really lead to. There's a treatment, but it's going to be treatment for life. You
forever.
Know,
forever.
Yeah, but they're non-curables. So yes. HIV, herpes, non-curables.
Well, I use the word, I don't want you to die over an orgasm. That's how I put it.
I like
there.
That. I don't want you to die over an orgasm. But listen to this. 90% of young people will encounter hardcore porn online by the time they are between 8 and 11
eight.
Years old. 90%. We're going to come back with that and tell you about this campaign to talk to parents about talking to their kids about pornography. 90% of your kids.
Wow.
Between 8 and 11 have seen pornography. Just keep that under your hat, and we'll talk about that coming up next here on 34 Play Friday.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
34 Play Friday tonight on the program. Kaya Bear joins me in studio. We'll let you even ask him some questions if you feel like it. You can text us at 514-800. The season home opener was last night. They kicked butt. It was a very close game, mind you, and it was a nail-biter of a game. There's no question about it. And he is here, back in shape, a little bit, a little teeny bit rested. Not much.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I'm okay.
You were like, whew. Okay, you guys
we went into work today.
You did?
We did.
Oh, my. Okay. You don't even get a night, like one day off.
We'll be off tomorrow. Okay. We're doing things differently this year.
Oh, that's interesting. All right. So let's see. This texter says, I understand that sex without a condom feels better, but personally, I'd rather complete my orgasm inside my partner with a condom on than finish by pulling out without one. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Be safe, be safe, be safe. What?
Okay, if we're just talking about from a pleasure standpoint, if you want to finish inside with the condom or pull out and have it natural, I think from a feeling standpoint, to pull out natural, I mean, because you can go other places with it and you can finish on the body,
somewhere else,
in the
right.
mouth, or it
right.
can it can get creative.
But just please, people, remember that's how you get an unintended pregnancy. So anyway, we'll leave that. Let's play Dirty Minds, and then we'll go back to porn stars that are helping parents with sex ed in this new campaign that people may want to know about. So are you ready with the clues, Kai?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right.
We have a good one tonight.
All right. Dirty Minds it is, which means you got to get your mind out of the gutter in order to get these clues, although they sound pretty gutter-ish. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm good at faking it. You spread me before you eat me. Sometimes I come in the tub.
All right. What am I? 514-790-0800. That's the number to call. First caller through. I think we're going to have to repeat the clues again, but 514-790-0800. First caller through gets a wonderful WeVibe vibrator. We're talking about the Rolls Royce of vibrators here. Kai, do it one more time, please.
One more time.
One more time.
I'm good at faking it. You spread me before you eat me. Sometimes I come in the tub.
In a tub.
The R-A. There's a tub involved that I come in.
There's yeah, we know that already.
There you go.
514-790-0800. Brian standing by. The lines are a full. Of course, you can't get it through text. You have to call in if you want the prize. All right. So let me just. I want to finish this story because I really and I want to. I just want to repeat this statistic because as a parent, if you're a parent, this is frightening. 90% of young people will encounter hardcore porn online by the time they are between 8 and 11 years old. That's according to now the latest research. Now, whether it's accidental or intentional, it's the same. The result is the same. It is confusing. It's wildly inaccurate in terms of an introduction to what what a person can perceive as in like real life sex. But now, through a series of porn star-led videos and partnership with Amaze, a coalition of national sex ed experts creating sex ed content geared towards 10 to 14-year-olds, parents have a place to look for resources to counter this phenomenon. Just an innocent Google search about sex can lead kids to explicit content. It can be really confusing and potentially disturbing, especially if it's their first exposure and they haven't gotten previous information about sex. And by using the sex educator approved content provided by Amaze, parents have an opportunity to help their kids understand why porn isn't like real world sex, particularly when it comes to consent and protection. Consent is a really important topic for a lot of parents. And one of the things we see in pornography is that there's no conversation about consent. So with this, with the tools that are offered by this program, Amaze, parents can help pick apart this issue in an age-appropriate way. So it applies to discussions about STDs, about condom use, which are also not shown in porn. So that would be something that, you know, has to be discussed. So look up Amaze. It's called Give the Talk. That's the video starring adult industry insiders.
Now, I agree with you. There's not a whole lot of education in porn, but there are so many different types of porn out there.
That's true. There is
porn where consent is discussed. There's also pornography where condoms are used, mm-hmm. and safe sex is practiced. And there's stories behind what's going on. There's romantic stories. There's the pizza boy story.
There aren't so many
romantic
stories.
There's the pool boy story.
Yeah.
Well, there's okay. It's out there because there's softer things.
You got to look for it.
There are different companies that specialize in just the romance side of it.
Fine. And I agree with you. There's all kinds of porn. There's more reality-based porn. In other words, more amateur porn that people are really looking for that. I'm not talking about what you and I might seek out purposefully. I'm talking about the kid who just types in sex because he's curious and anything can come up, anything. So he's not making he or she is not making the distinction of any of that stuff.
You know what? And it's the response at that age, you're responsible for your kids, right? 8 to 11, as a parent, you're responsible for what your kid takes in. But when do you have the talk? If they're starting to see things at 8 to 11,
before 8.
I couldn't imagine having the talk with a 7-year-old.
Well, I did.
You did.
I definitely did.
You're professional.
My kids knew how babies were made. They, and then the questions just got progressively more detailed, like they wanted to know more. You know, first you, but it's age appropriate, Kai. It's not,
the conversation has to be age appropriate.
Of course. You're not giving them, like, you know, the information you're giving them still has to be age appropriate, but they're going to see things that are not age appropriate. So you need to have a conversation about what they're seeing so that they understand that this is not what, because they know what, they understand sex. The word sex, they know way younger than 11 years old. So this is something that just opens up that conversation, and the conversation continues. It's not one talk anyway. I mean, you know it.
You're still teaching me things.
I'm still giving you talks. All right, let's see. Brian, did we get any like weird answers to that?
You know what? Every time you guys do this and I'm here, I get the most strangest and funniest answers.
What'd you get?
No, but here, for this one, yes, everyone was right.
Everyone was right, so we made it too easy.
And I was being hard because I was, you know, let's be honest, the answer is margarine.
Right.
And I was being really anal about it, and I wasn't taking butter.
You just said anal.
Yeah.
On the sex show.
I know, I should have like a bell or something around here.
That's right.
Yeah, but congratulations to Suzanne, loves the show.
Oh, great.
Loves it. She's going to enjoy a We Vibe sex toy.
Wonderful. Cool. Suzanne.
Congratulations. Winner chicken dinner.
Yeah, so margarine, you get the We Vibe. Yay. some people text in very funny things. All right.
Did you get anything here?
I got the one person got it wrong. Peanut butter was one, which is a good. It's a good guess. Most people had.
Aside from faking it, peanut butter would have been on point. You know.
Yeah, you spread it
before you eat it. It comes in a tub.
That's quite true. Yeah. So hey, this texter writes in. Kids on farms learn early, 4 years old. They're right. Kids on farms see births of animals, and they want to know about that, right? They want to know how these babies come out and whatever. And then they make the connection between mommy's baby coming out too, right? That adult. So, yeah. Listen, little kids want information too. Just age appropriate. We just have to keep going back to that. Age appropriate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around an eight-year-old watching porn.
I know, but it happens a lot.
I mean, kids have cell phones at eight.
That's right.
Well, you can put different parental locks. You can do things with your
internet. What are you going to do when your kid goes to their friend's house that doesn't have parentals on there? What are you going to do? Yeah. So we have to check with every parent. By the way, do you have, you know, parental controls on your computer? I'm not letting my kid go to your house.
That may be a responsible thing to do as a parent.
Maybe we need to start
doing that. I mean, because the circle doesn't have to be that big. But you know, how many people will you trust to have your 8 to 11-year-old kid alone with? You know, you're not going to have 15 parents that you're going to say, okay, I'm okay with you spending the full day there. And there, you have to be selective with who you, it's your children, it's a prize. Like, you have to protect them.
I often wonder if parents didn't let their kids come to my house. Knowing who I was.
You're going to choke on a condom.
My kids had a lot of friends, so I don't think it was an issue. And the parents were, you know, close to me. But I find that interesting. It's an interesting question. They probably just never said anything to me. Oh, boy. All righty. More 34 Play Friday with Kaya Bear. We'll talk about a little bit of history of how women ended up removing hair from their entire bodies. The ladyscaping, manscaping issue coming up next here on Passion.
Stimulating Radio, Passion with Dr. Lori.
34 Play Friday with Kaya Bear. By the way, you're not here next week. I just checked with your wife, and you're in Edmonton. You're playing in Edmonton, so you're not back.
Yeah,
good
job. Way to speak
to
someone
who knows. It's a good thing your wife is on top of your life. That's all I can say. And it's true for anybody who knows us. I never check with him directly. I always check with the wife.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
I like when she's on top.
That's right.
Come on.
All right. This texter writes, I think that's exaggerated. 8 years old or too young. Parents are more careful. You want to bet? This is statistics. I have heard maybe the 90% it may be exaggerated. I've heard anywhere from 60-70% consistently. So this is not an exaggeration. 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, I've heard it like about 90% up until the age, like by the age of 13. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of multiple cases where 10 and 11 year olds have had sex at school. So if they're actually doing things, so of course they're
sex play and experimenting. But we have to remember, it's very hard to control. But it's very hard. You know, kids have smartphones, tablets, then, you know, computers, all of that, that they can easily access stuff. Ask how many parents have parental controls on their computers. Ask, because I'm telling you now, there aren't as many as you even think there are. With parental controls. The parents I've spoken to have said when they put parental controls on, like, they can't access anything. And they, you know, it blocks all kinds of content. Well, you wouldn't be able to access my website if you had parental controls, you know? Not that there's any major sex content on there, but the word sex is there. The word is there. You have some articles and you have some, you know, TED Talk videos about sex and whatever.
Right.
So
it's not age appropriate.
It's not
age
appropriate.
Right?
Exactly. So once you put those parental controls on, you wipe out a lot of stuff. But not every parent has that, and you could be sure of that. I'd love to hear from parents who think this doesn't exist, because it really does.
I think most people who live in the real world understands that it exists, and we just have to do a good job as parents at being as transparent and communicating as best as we can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ignore it. This is a fact of life. This is something that's going to come about, and we have to make sure you stay ahead of it.
And kids will not tell you either. Like, if you don't have the talk with them, they're going to know, I probably shouldn't be seeing this, and I better not tell because I might get in trouble. So it's really important to be able to say to your kids, you might see things accidentally, which often it happens accidentally, but you might see things that are for adults only and involve you have to find a way to say it. I know the very first thing I said to my kids when they were young was, if you see anything on the computer that has naked people on it, you click the X immediately. Like, I just said that to them. It's not for children. It's for grown-ups, and you must do this. This is the rule if you want to use the computer. And this was at a young age when they were already, you know, going onto the computer. Yeah. Even though I was around, I didn't know what could pop up when I turn my back or go somewhere, you know, go to the
especially
kitchen or
pop-ups.
Whatever. Exactly.
I mean, for me as a parent who actually do when I go home and do in the field research and watch a little porn for the sake of the
only
show.
Only for that, yes.
Like, yeah, like, I'm very cautious about what's there. And with teenage girls, like, hell no.
That's right. But you don't know, right? You don't know what pop-ups are going to show up on your computer either. So, and anyway, so that's part of it. And it is a reality. So we've had this conversation umpteen times about removing hair, right? And we've often wondered, like, what is the history? You know that the removal of pubic hair has been around since cavemen, apparently. Apparently, all right? This is how, when we see the depiction of cavemen and cavewomen, they're like almost like they're so hairy,
yeah,
right? Apparently that's not true. That's not quite true.
What were they using, stones?
Listen, archaeologists have come to believe that they were the first ones to embrace shaving. According to a book called History Undressed, both men and women during the Stone Age often shaved their heads and faces so their opponents in battle wouldn't have the advantage of grabbing onto anything. Grabbing onto a beard, grabbing onto a lock of hair.
I don't think they
were
grabbing pubes.
Not pubes, but shaving. It's not just pubes. It's shaving. Shaving in general. Shaving legs, shaving faces.
We'll go with facial hair.
Let's just go with hair removal. How about that? Just general
hair removal. First thing came to mind was pubes.
Yeah, I know.
On this show, we're going to go straight to pubic hair. Like, I got you now. Sorry.
So cavemen were removing their facial hair. They were using seashells. They were using flint or razors made of flint or horn. And they became blunt really quickly. So that's how the first disposable razor came in.
Holy.
You imagine that?
Oh, the burn.
Then the ancient Greeks thought pubic hair on women, pubic hair, was uncivilized, though there is some debate about whether average women went hairless or just the courtesans. The upper class women of ancient Rome also kept their bonnets smooth, and some men removed their body hair as well.
Okay, you said the ancient Greeks. These are the same
guys
that had sex with guys to prove their power.
I don't know why they did it, but yes, those guys. Okay, those guys. In ancient Egypt, apparently everybody was doing this. Hairlessness was what it was all about. It was about cleanliness. Very, very, they had to be very clean, and they saw hair as something unclean. Then apparently somehow based with Darwin's book in 1871, men of science obsessed over racial differences in hair type and growth. And then apparently somehow it had to do with competitive selection. So hairiness was pathologized again. So hairiness has always been like a bad thing. I don't know why.
Well, I don't think they figured that out in Asian porn.
let me tell you about that. Hold on. You bring up a very important point here. Because, so first of all, fashion, advertising, all of that spread the whole notion of shaving, like leg and underarm hair, right?
Okay.
In the 1900s, people wore, they didn't show their skin, so they didn't have a need to shave their armpits because they didn't go sleeveless, didn't have the need to shave their legs, none of that. But then when the new fashion of like sleeveless and all that, then yeah, when there was showing a little bit more skin, they started shaving. So, but this is interesting. Korean women have begun paying to get hair transplants to their vulvas to signify health.
What?
So for Korean women, this is what I read. For Korean women, having hair equals being healthy.
Right to the vulva.
Yes. So hairiness is in there.
Somewhere. Hairiness is, you know,
what were you talking about? Asian porn? Why? They have more hair or no hair?
I'm going to let you do some in-the-field researching.
You go out there and tell me.
You come back. That's your homework assignment. You come back.
Can you just share the information with our listeners before we go? Don't leave us hanging here. Come on.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, there, what?
You can see lots of bush in Asian porn.
So it is. So there is a definitely a cultural difference then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a little hair every now and then.
All right, well,
just saying,
I didn't ask you your personal preference.
Gave it to the world. All that right. wasn't for you.
Kai, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Good luck in Edmonton.
And good luck in the next few games.
Thank you so much.
And we'll catch up with you then. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Thanks to Linda DeLisi, our passion researcher. Thank you to Brian Calasar, Master Control. Have we heard from Dave Simon yet? Did his wife give birth? Oy, we're waiting for that, the big news. And if you need to reach me, by the way, drlaurie.com, drlaurie.com. We'll talk Monday night. I want to wish you a wonderful rest of the night, a great long weekend. Right now, stay tuned for The Comedy Show with Joey Elias. Have a great rest of the evening, and remember to fill your life with passion.